Well, I want to share briefly this morning because we're going to spend a fair amount of time as we take up the first fruit offering in just a little while. And just want to share some thoughts this morning. We have a theme this year, which is faithful. And so if you worked that one out, well done. Very good. We're talking about being faithful, about God being faithful. So I just want to share a few thoughts about faithful. When we think of the word faithful, what do you think about when you think of the word faithful? Now, in the worldly sense, they mainly think of being unfaithful, don't they? The contrast between being an unfaithful husband or an unfaithful wife, being faithful. But what do we mean by faithful when we're talking about being faithful? And really, I suppose faithful means a lot of things. There's a lot of aspects to the word faithful. But fundamentally, it's a sense of loyalty. It's a sense of steadfastness. It's a sense of just being true, being real, being always holding on to what you've said. Always faithful means that you're always going to follow through, that you're always there and you will always follow through. And so we certainly this year looking at having a faithful father, but us being faithful followers and also being faithful friends with our relationships with one another, but also to a world that need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our theme for the year is, of course, faithful. And I want to speak particularly today on this special day, this First Fruit Sunday, about the faithful giver. I want to speak about the faithful giver. And when I think about being faithful, I see it as three main things. Being faithful is, first of all, it's an attribute. It's a part of character. It's a part of who you are. Now, remember, we talked about the process of the church, what we're working through, really. What does God want us to be? We said that he's called us to be everything that God made us to be. We said, look, well, that's in two areas. It's in maturity and purpose, growing in those things. And we talked about character and how important that is. And really, one of the attributes or part of character that we want to build into ourselves is to be faithful. And so it's three things. One, first of all, it is an attribute. It's something that's built into who you are. It's a part of your life to be faithful. It's a part of your character. It's a part of who you are. And the other thing is being faithful is an attitude. It's actually a decision that you're making. Now, I'm going to be faithful. No matter what, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to hang in there. It doesn't matter what happens. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to hold on to the promises that I've made. It's an attitude. It's a decision. It's a choice to be faithful. And so it's also, not only is an attribute something built into your character, it's an attitude or a choice that you make. Now, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to hang in there. I'm going to do what I said. Doesn't matter what the cost. We heard about around the communion. Jesus was faithful, cost him everything. They talk about the agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. And, and as I said, Lord, if this cup can pass, but no, let your will be done. He was faithful. It was a decision, a choice. I'm going to be faithful to the purpose that God has for me. I'm going to be faithful to what God has said. I'm going to be faithful and obedient to what God has said. And so it's an attribute, it's an attitude, but it's also an action, because if you're faithful, then you need to follow that through. It needs to have an outworking. You can't be faithful in isolation. If you are faithful, then it'll outwork in your life. It'll be an action. It'll be something that is actually happens as a result of you having that built into you or having that attitude. Is there'll be something that you do, you'll be faithful. So I want to look at these three things in respect to our Father and then respect to us in terms of being faithful givers. And so first of all, I want to look at our Father in heaven and the attribute of him, God being faithful, and certainly in the context of being a faithful giver. And Scripture says in Psalm 89, verse 8, it says, "Who is like you, Lord God Almighty?" Well, the answer is no one. There is no one like God. "Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you." See, if you think of God, I think about, fundamentally, if I think the character of God, the attributes of God, what's the first thing that comes to my mind? I don't know what the first thing comes to your mind. First thing that comes to my mind is God is holy. He is a holy God. He is worthy to be praised. He is a holy God. And so that's the first thing that I think of when I think of the attributes of God. Second thing I probably think about is that God is a loving God. God is love. It's a part of who he is. He's not just loving. He is love. It's a part of his nature. It's a part of the attributes. It's part of the character of who God is. And so, yeah, I think he's holy. Certainly the scripture tells us he's holy. He's loving. But then the third thing that I think of when I think of who God is, I think of God being faithful. He is a faithful God. He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to his promises. He's faithful to us. And it says here that, who is like you, Lord God Almighty? The Lord you Almighty, your faithfulness surrounds you. Faithfulness is a part of who God is. It's a part of who he is. And so when you worship God, you know that you're worshiping a holy God. He's worthy and a loving God. But he is a faithful God that is true to himself. He's true to his word. And the scripture tells us, it says, even if we are faithless, he is faithful because he cannot deny himself. He is a faithful, faithful God. And so we can trust him in all things. He has that attribute that he is faithful. And so God is somebody we can always trust. And so he has that attribute. It's built into who God is. God is a faithful God. But he also has an attitude of faithfulness as well. God is, and the clearest to me example of that is in Hebrews 13:5, where he says, keep your lives free from the love of money. It's actually a good scripture in First Fruits. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Keep your lives free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. Because God has said, and this is what my point is, I will never leave you, nor I will forsake you. And so that's God's attitude when he thinks of you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm never going to leave you in the lurch. I'm never going to leave you hanging out there where you just, I'm not going to leave you hanging. I'm always going to come through for you. God is a faithful God. And that's God's attitude. His attitude is, no, I'm for you. I'm always there. It's a part of who he is. It's part of his character. But it's a decision that he makes. I'm never going to leave you and I'm never going to fail you. I'm never going to leave. I'm always there. And so it doesn't matter what you're going through right now. The promise of God is true and the promise of God stands. He's never going to leave us and he's never going to forsake us. God is there for us. He is a faithful, faithful God. And so he is very faithful in those things. He's faithful attribute and he has that faithful attitude. But in talking in context of being faithful as a giver, and God has shown his faithfulness to us. And that not only does he love us, because it's one thing to say that he loves us, and who would ever doubt that, irrespective of whatever happened, because God is God. He is loving and he is kind and he's generous and he's compassionate and all those other attributes and characteristics. But there's an action that follows through in God's faithfulness. And to me, this is demonstrating his heart of giving to us, that he is the giver. It says in Psalm 145:17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. And so there is an outworking of those things. All the things God does, God has never messed around with you once. God has never failed you once in your whole life. Not once. There's not one example where God let you down in your whole life. There isn't one, because God has always been there. Now, there may have been things in your life that think, hang on, well, that didn't turn out just the way I thought it was going to be. And I was praying for this, and I thought it was going to happen, and it didn't. You know, God, God never failed you once, or not one moment has God ever failed you or let you down. Now, some things don't go the way that we think, because God sees things far differently than we do. His ways are so much higher than ours. We've got our little narrow little brains with our little narrow experience and our little bit of knowledge and expectation and all these things. God knows and sees everything. And God is always faithful. He's never let you down and he never will let you down. If you're a child of God, he's going to look after you and he does look after you. And he has, and he's already demonstrated his faithfulness when he gave to us the greatest gift of all. He gave us Jesus Christ. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God gave his one and only Son. And so God in his faithfulness, it's a part of who God is, and he's made that decision, I'm never going to let you down. I'm always going to be with you. Whatever you go through, I'm going to hold your hand. I'm going to carry you. You're going to get through it because I'm with you. I'm not going to abandon you in the midst of it. You're going to go through the valley of the shadow of death, but you will fear no evil because my rod and my staff, they will comfort you and I will be with you and I'm going to carry you through that. So it isn't said that it's always going to be roses and sunshine and whatever, but he's never going to leave us and he's never going to let us down. He's never going to fail us and he never has and he never will. But he demonstrated his faithfulness as a giver to us. He gave the very best that he had. He gave Jesus Christ to us, that he would die on the cross in our place for our sin. We can't make it to God being good people. And there's a lot of good people in this world that even aren't Christians. But our goodness before the holiness of God, that attribute I spoke about at the beginning, the scripture says is like a filthy rag to his righteousness. The only way to come to his standard of righteousness is by accepting Christ, having dealing with our sin upon the cross, turn from those things, apprehend the life that we have and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And then we have the promise of eternity and all those things that flow, the abundant life that we have in Jesus Christ. But he gave the very best to us. So God is a giver. He is a faithful giver. In fact, if you looked at your life, everything you have has actually been given to you by God. Everything you have. That breath that you just took came from God. The heartbeat that you just had was a gift from God. Everything you have is from God. He is a gracious Father and he's given us, and praise God for every moment, for every breath, for every heartbeat that we have. He's an awesome God. He is a good giver. God is a generous, faithful giver, and never question his faithfulness, because if you ever go through something, you think, oh, what's going on? Just look at the cross and think, hang on. You've already proven it. You've already demonstrated it. You've already shown your faithfulness on the cross. And so how can I ever doubt? How can I ever question you? Because you did it all on the cross. I just have to look at the cross and see the faithfulness of God. He is a faithful God. Amen? Amen. He is faithful. So talking about us being faithful givers. Now, my question really, I don't really know whether we can necessarily be faithful givers, because I'm mindful of really where everything comes from and who it all belongs to. And so when I talk about us being givers, see, really, I never see myself as being a giver, and I can never even really see myself as being generous, because everything I have is not mine anyway. The time I have, it's not my time. The life I have is not mine. I gave my life to Jesus, so I have no claims on my life. I don't have claims on that. I surrendered my life to Christ. Did I mean it? Or do I surrender Sunday mornings to Jesus, or certain times of the day, did I surrender my life to Christ? I don't have any claims on it anymore. All that I have, where does it come from? It comes from him. The scripture tells us that he is the one that gives us the ability to create wealth. So the ability to have a job or to get an income or to get a pension or whatever, it all comes from him. And so when I talk about being a giver, being a faithful giver, in some ways it's a bit of a misnomer, because everything I have is his anyway. Now, I liken it to this, like it's really good when it's like, they have those Mother's Day stores at school or Father's Day stores, and so the kids are all excited. They want to get a present for Father's Day or Mother's Day. And so what does mum do? Mum will give the money to the kids and they will go there and they'll buy excitedly, look what I buy mum a present with her money at the Mother's Day store, so they can excitedly give it to them. Now, their heart is, they just love their mum and they just want to bless her. Mum, I just love you and I want to give you something special. But where did the money come from? Mum. Father's Day, same thing. Give some money. Mum always normally is the one who gives the money, though. But where does it come from? Yeah. And it's really the same as God. We get really excited when we're giving. We're going to give to God today and give with joyful hearts and great hearts. And the same as like a little child, because we love Daddy. We just want to love him and bless him because we love him, and that's why we're doing this for. But really, it's his anyway. And so when I look at giving, really, I think, no, look, we're not really givers, and I don't think I can ever really be a giver, but I can be a responder. And really, why do I love God? I love God because he loved me first. I wouldn't even know what love was unless God loved me. It's the only way I even really knew what true love was, pure, real love was, is because God loved me. If he hadn't shown me what true love was, I'd never really known that. And so I can only ever respond to his incredible love. And even when we're giving, really, we're not, I'm encouraging us to be faithful givers, but really we're faithful responders is really what we are, because we're just responding to him, because all that we have belongs to him. It all comes from him. But we want to build into our own lives that attribute, even as God is faithful and he's a faithful giver, that we also would be. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 7, it says this: "But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness," you're passionate, you want to go deeper, you're on fire for God, "and in the love that we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." And so there's something that we want to also build that attribute, build that into our lives. We want to be people that are faith. We have faith in our lives. That we're men and women of faith, children of faith, people of faith. And in our speech, be careful what we say. We only want to build up, and we're not trying to destroy. We're not being cutting sarcasm or saying jokes or things that'll put people down. We just want to build up. We just want to bring life in knowledge. We're growing in our knowledge of God and knowing who God is. And as you know who God is, you get to really know who you are. And it's the only way you'll ever know. In complete earnestness, and so that there's a passion in our heart. Something stirs us, motivate the things of God. In love that he kindled in us, the love of God in our lives. Wow, we want to be loving people. We want to reflect that. But see also that you excel in the grace of giving. And so that there's a challenge for us to make that an attribute, to build that generous spirit into your heart, that's just a part of who you are. Oh, I'm going to pray about it. No, I just do it. I just do it. I'm not reckless, not just foolish, but it's just a part of your nature. Be a generous, giving person to do that. So it's an attribute, but also it's an attitude as well. You have that attitude of giving, to be making a decision that, yeah, I'm going to be a generous giver. I'm going to be faithful in that. And there's two great little contrasts in Scripture, which we'll very quickly go over. One is with the Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees. And this is what Jesus said to them. Because they're actually people who were giving. And you think, well, gee whiz, look at them, look at these guys. Because these guys are actually not only giving, but they'd actually measure. Like if they got some salt, they'd work out, let's work out 10% of the salt. So there's 7,324 grains of salt here. I'm going to give 10% of that to the Lord, like to the nth degree. But it says here, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees." This is Jesus talking. "You hypocrites, you give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of law, justice, mercy and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter." In other words, you should be interested in justice and in mercy and being faithful, faithfulness, without neglecting the former. So you should have, yep, you were right to tithe. You're right to tithe. You're right to give. It's the right thing to do. It's right to do that. But their heart wasn't right. Their heart wasn't there. And so you can do all the right stuff and have the wrong heart and it means nothing. And even today as we take up this first fruit offering, if you're going to come kicking and screaming with the wrong heart, keep your money, please, because there's no benefit to you in doing that. And so he was saying, yeah, it's the right thing to do, but you also, your heart is really important. And whenever we give, whenever we do anything, our heart attitude is always really important. You can do the best thing. And the scripture says you can give your body to be burnt. Give yourself to be martyred. Give your body to be burnt. But if I have love, don't have love, it means nothing. Nothing. So our heart attitude is important. Jesus hammered these guys because they were religiously doing stuff, but their heart was wrong. But then you contrast that with another beautiful story, which is the widow with the widow mite. Jesus is at the temple and he's watching people bringing their offering. Interesting, Jesus was watching people giving. It was interesting. And he said, "Truly I tell you, the poor widow was put in more than all the others. All these people gave gifts out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty and all that she had to live on." And really what Jesus is honing in on is her attitude. Her attitude is of being faithful. But that's based on there is a faithfulness of God. She was trusting that, hang on, my God is faithful. My God knows how to look after me. I am a child of God. God knows. My Father knows how to look after his children. And so her attitude is, Lord, I'm able to be faithful here because I know that you are faithful. I know that you're my provider. I know that everything comes from you. And so her heart was just out of worship. Some people were just making a big show of it. Look at, you know, people go and put big stacks, big bags of money. I don't know who they were trying to impress. God looks at our heart and saw her heart is, no, I'm trusting God. God is my faithful provider and I'm trusting him. And so I'm going to be faithful because my God is faithful. And that was her heart in giving. And so there's a beautiful story that the Lord, he didn't rebuke her for giving. He said, no, look at her heart. Look at her heart. Our heart attitude is always so important when we give. And so we want to be faithful responders. We want to have an, build that into us. We're just generous. We see the need, we meet the need. Don't know, oh, hang on, I'll think about that. No, we meet the need. We build it into our hearts, into our lives. And we have the right attitude, though. We have a faithful attitude that when we are faithful in doing things, that we do it with the right heart, that we make a decision, I'm doing this. I'm doing what is right, but I'm being faithful. I'm not doing it for a show, trying to impress anyone or anything. I just want to be faithful because I know my God himself is faithful. And therefore, there's an action that comes with that. The same as God in his faithfulness, he demonstrated to that by sending Jesus to die on the cross for our place. There is an action to that. And in 1 Corinthians 16:2, it says, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. Saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. And so he was saying, I don't have to do a special thing. You guys are doing it regularly. And there's something about being faithful in your giving, being systematically and regularly giving. Don't just whenever when I feel like it. No, you've made a decision. You make a choice that, no, I'm going to be faithful and systematic. There's something very powerful in systematic giving. You know, I was just thinking the other day, you know, we have a building fund in the church. And I was just thinking, you know, I just sat down and did a calculation. And just in my mind, I think, well, I wonder what we've given over the years. And it's a significant amount of money over the last 24 years that we've been giving to the building fund. And that's, now, I'd never be able to give that lump sum. I never had a lump sum like that. But just systematically, it makes a massive difference. A huge difference. And the same with for all of us. And there's many of us, many, many people who've given systematically to the building fund over many, many years and continue to do so. And I praise God for that. But there's a power in systematic giving. And so there's an action that follows through with that. It's one thing to say, yeah, look, I'm generous and I'm very generous. And yeah, I'm going to be generous. But if you're going to be genuine, then you actually do that, follow it through. But there is a power in being systematic. Now, what we're taking up today is one once-a-year special offering that we do. But we take up our normal tithes and offerings every week. And it's important that we are faithful in that, that we faithfully every week. Now, some of you get paid every month, or then every month, if it's fortnight, every fortnight, whatever it is, that we are faithful in doing that. Jesus said to the Pharisees, don't neglect tithing, but make sure your heart's right. Get your heart right. God's more interested in your heart than your bank balance. But I tell you what, quite often what you do with your money shows where your heart really is. And that really is a demonstration of that. That's why God cares about it, because it actually puts the finger right on the spot of really where our heart is. And so that's why we want to give. And we want to be people that are faithful, yes, responders to God. Out of his faithfulness, we want to give. In a moment, we're going to take up our first fruits offering, and we're going to just run a little clip. So we're going to watch this together, then I'm going to explain a few things, during which time parents will collect their children. So we'll just turn our attention to the screen, and...